I've always enjoyed reading Paul's letters, especially Paul's letters to the Corinthians. And I think that is partially because I find them to be very realistic. Had these been letters praising the perfect Christian community and complimenting them for all their great actions of moral superiority, I probably would not have found them quite as relatable. But instead, in Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, we find that they were having problems. And their biggest problem, division and arguments. They simply weren't getting along. They were quarreling. They were harboring jealousies. It wasn't easy back then to be the church, and it certainly isn't easy now. I think that if it had been easy back then we probably would all be beating our heads against a wall today looking for that place where we went so horribly wrong. But instead, we can find some solace in the fact that it has never been easy, and probably on this side of heaven never will be. As we examine today's reading more closely, I think that it's a little helpful to look at all the different characters in this passage. First, of course, there is the Apostle Paul, the author of the letter. And the second character, or rather characters, is the church of Corinth, whom Paul is addressing. I feel for Paul. I mean, it's never been easy to go and plant churches, but it must have been especially difficult back then. I mean, sure, we could say that at least he had the perk of having had Jesus appear to him during his conversion. He had firsthand accounts of Christ to draw from. He knew some of the disciples. Surely that must have helped. But then there he was, called to take the message of Christ to far-off places. He couldn't simply hop in his car or send an email with all the exciting news. He traveled by boat, by foot, perilous journeys through strange lands without any modern conveniences. It certainly could not have been easy to start these churches, begin relationships with the people, get them on some solid footing, and then leave. There was no wealth of centuries of theological thoughts on Jesus to draw from, no books, no curriculum, no podcasts to encourage all the church to study in his absence. So it probably shouldn't have come as a surprise when he received word that the church he founded in Corinth was having some growing pains. Really, worse than growing pains. They were caught up in rivalries. Jealousies had taken root, and they were not behaving very Christ-like. Because as time went on, with true human nature, questions began to grow. They had questions about their old beliefs versus their new beliefs. They had questions about how to fit old customs into their new lives of faith. They didn't have a New Testament to turn to. I can just see it. Someone had one opinion, then someone else had another opinion. They didn't agree, and they surely couldn't agree to disagree. They began to argue. People chose sides. And then they found themselves in a real pickle, with factions forming and arguing over what color carpet to put in that sanctuary, because that is a deeply profound theological issue, after all. Another character that you may be wondering about who is mentioned by name is Apollos. Well, Apollos was a Jewish contemporary and colleague of Paul's. There isn't too much said about him, but he was very important in the early development of the churches in Corinth and Ephesus. Well, I can just hear that division too. Well, I'm going to follow Paul. Well, I'd rather follow Apollos. Well, Paul's sermons are much more interesting than Apollos. We still do this in the church today. We find ourselves preferring one theologian or religious writer over another. And this may be strange for me to say as one of your pastors, but I was once someone sitting in the pews, after all. We prefer one pastor over another pastor. Preferring certainly is not a problem. We are human after all, and we have our preferences or our different things that we relate to more than another. That certainly is not the issue. The problem is that the Corinthians were using their preferences to divide them into camps, the Paul group and the Apollos group. They were losing sight of their work as the church. But as Paul points out, who is Paul and who is Apollos without God? He redirects them back to the one who gives everything, the one who equipped and empowered Paul and Apollos with their gifts of teaching and leadership. He directs them back to God, the giver of every good gift. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the growth, and God continues to give the growth. And so that, of course, brings us to our most important character in the story, God. And Paul clearly points everyone back to God, reminding them that they are nothing without God. Another character that's not explicitly mentioned, but that I think is an important one to talk about, is the modern audience. You and me, all of us, as we make up the church today. What do we hope to glean from a text like this that can help all of us along our journeys of faith and our time of being the church in our world? Our time will come to an end, just as the ancient church of Corinth's time did. But as Paul told them, they are all God's servants working together. They are God's field, God's building. And this holds true for all of us today. The church has never been perfect. The church has always been full of imperfect people who constantly make mistakes or start arguments or fail to be spirit-filled. At our best, we are all trying to live Christ-like lives in a very broken and fearful world. And at our worst, well, we shudder to think about all the awful things that have been done in the name of the church. It's at those moments, especially, that we remember and trust that we are completely dependent upon God's forgiveness and grace. Of course, being the church filled with imperfect people means that we must always be aware of those things that divide us. We know that we are called to be a place that celebrates each other's differences, but we also know that is honestly very difficult. We live in a world that is polarized. We take sides. We pick Apollos or Paul, choosing the side that supports our viewpoints, ready to label one as right and the other as wrong, while forgetting that we really are all marching in a common band, playing for one conductor. Paul calls the behavior out in a very shameful way by comparing the Corinthians to babies who cannot even eat solid food. He says that as long as there is jealousy and quarreling, they are behaving according to their human inclinations and thus are not acting in a very Christ-like way. For Paul, acting and thinking and loving like Jesus are signs that a person recognizes that the Holy Spirit is active and alive in their lives. Factions and arguments and petty complaining are contrary to the works of the Spirit. We, of course, can point to one of Paul's other letters to know the signs of the Spirit in one life of faith. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In our reading today, it doesn't seem like many of the Corinthians were exhibiting these traits. And if we're honest, we know that we fall short again and again. Well, this all reminds me of the hymn that I chose for our closing hymn today. The Church's One Foundation is a beloved hymn that speaks to the church, including its imperfections, its struggles, its mistakes, and God's ultimate peace and victory. At the heart is the fact that the church is grounded in the perfect foundation of Jesus Christ that gives hope and forgiveness and grace to all, even in the midst of toils and tribulations and schisms that tear apart. The night of weeping shall be the morn of song. And that is all because of God. Paul reminds the church that God gives the growth. We are all God's servants working together. We are God's field, God's building. God gives the growth. We have had a lot of wonderful growth here at Westminster Presbyterian Church. God has planted all sorts of seeds and has sent water in so many different ways over the past 65 plus years. But all the growth has come from God. We must remember this and give thanks to God for this miraculous growth that can happen in all parts of our lives. And I want to point out here that when I say growth, I think our consumeristic culture minds automatically think about growth in numbers, more people, more stuff, more money. But I want to talk about growth beyond the numbers. Yes, numbers are important. But to do this, think about a baby. When we bring a baby home from the hospital, it can't talk. It doesn't talk about its growth. So how do we know that it's growing? We know it's growing because the number on the scale keeps going up, it keeps getting longer, but we also know it is growing because it changes day by day. It interacts with its world, it smiles, it laughs, it reaches for things, it moves. You get the idea. Growth in the church certainly happens numbers-wise, but it also happens deep within our souls. A faith that is strengthened even when challenged. It is a growth that lives out the fruits of the Spirit both inside and outside these walls. It is a growth where even when faced with the fact that we do not agree, we remember to welcome each other in love. It is a growth that allows us to become a community that knows its work is never, ever done. It is a growth that gives us new eyes of faith to dream dreams and to reform what we do in our ever-changing world. We all must continue to live out our lives of faith, nurturing disciples, serving others, and always reflecting God's love to all we meet. I think it's also worth celebrating miraculous growth of the church within the context of our religious landscape in our society today. There are so many things that compete for our attention each and every Sunday morning. It's so important that we all take time to gather together here in this holy place to praise and to worship our God. There are many ministries in this church that have been growing. The youth and children's ministry, the fellowship ministries, Bible studies, the music ministry, mission ministries, and so on. All of these things are dependent upon God's grace, and all of us are blessed to be a part of it. The church is God's field, God's building, and our task is to give thanks to God for that growth as we seek to grow together, even in the midst of all of our many differences. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen.